TH. Oh, karma. Addition to, I think I have one already. I was born. And grew up here. Nice, peaceful, safe. Middle class, small town. Environment. And now I realize at my old age that although my life led me on to mighty strange adventures, I always somehow found myself having a home in a similar environment. Small town feeling, nature, just across the corner, fresh air, peaceful, and I'm very grateful for that. But then didn't really work anything to get this. It's as if it is just my nature and I am supposed to in this life. Live in such an environment. And it is not that it's because I just continued living taking advantage of the standard I was born into because because I gave that completely up, and at several points in my life I was basically jobless, homeless, so I was thinking that about this karma, because that's how the Indians would describe it. It's your karma. And if we turn to the Bhagavad Gita, there is this verse they're saying, guna karma vibhagasa, that we find a situation in life that is really corresponding to our guna, as they call it, which means our character, our qualities, our mode of nature, as we sometimes say. So of course we're all born with certain qualities and character traits, things we are good at, things we are not good at, by our very nature. Since I was a small kid, good at art, although I was absolutely nothing artistic in our family. Well, nothing significant that I got influenced by. And I'm sure we all have similar experiences and stories. So this is what they in India call guna. And then karma. Well, we use that word sometimes, just it's your karma, it's my karma. But it really means work. So it means that, well, we work and act according to our nature. And when we do, it's like there is a natural flow or current there in our lives, going in a certain direction. It just feels natural. I guess you could say the law of least resistance. Some, when they just follow their natural inclination, they become professors, scientists, some become athletes. Some become business people, and some become, well, you know, workers. And of course, it's also socially determined but it is also according to our nature. There are people who are born in very poor situations, but then because they have a certain talent or inclination, they become super rich or famous artist or scientist, whatever. So guna karma on nature and how we act according to that. And well, it's valid, and it, of course it also explains why we tend to find ourselves in a certain situation, a certain environment. But then if you believe in providence and God and or any kind of higher control and synchronization in life, you can also say that, yeah, maybe a destiny simply has that certain path open for each and every one of us, one that suits our guna and karma, and therefore it comes very natural and easily. And that is, of course, the understanding behind this karma thing that India is famous for. That yes, what we have now in this life, in this situation, is then determined by our activities of the past, because it's not just a random chance thing that makes us take birth this way, that way. Of course, some people think that this sounds unfair or something, that oh, then you are blaming the person rather than the society. Well, maybe so, if you want to use that word, but I'd rather see it the other way. This also means that we can't change our situation. By, well, changing our modes of action and mode of being. And then someone may say, well, how can you? You just said that you have a natural inclination and you worked according to that. Yes, but that can change. That's the thing. And that's, again, according to the Indian Vedic philosophy and many other, I guess. Much what life here is about. Because of, you know, living a sattvic life, which means someone living wisely, healthy, and so on. makes you happy. That's how the Bhagavad Gita states it. But if you live in ignorance, tama as it's called, illusion, madness, violence, drugs, intoxication, all of that, or in Raja, passion, intensely desiring things for yourself, money or pleasures. Going greedy and envious and so on. We all know that somehow or other such life doesn't really make us happy. We tend to feel either life as being chaotic or simply unfulfilling. Well, maybe I make some more money, maybe I find a better drug. In other words, we long for something that we don't have. So that longing for something that we don't have then means that, well, we want something more out of life, and therefore we find all this self-improvement, and the wise and the philosophers of practically every culture and nation on the planet telling us how to improve our lives. But here is the key. And it is something that was completely natural in the past, but maybe have become a bit lost in our postmodern world. Cultivating yourself, improving your character. Nurturing virtues and rather than vices. So maybe it's as simple as that. But while I spoke about Indian philosophy now, you could translate it into any place on earth. And find that much of the solution to our lives here, both individually, you and me, and us as a species, can benefit from just this very basic and simple to understand and practically universal advices. Coming from people, from cultures, from times. Where such cultivation of wisdom was what knowledge in science is about. Not how to make fancy machines and things or money. So, in a way, it seems to me at least that humanity, all of us, are standing at some kind of crossroads. Where the decisions we make can be decisive for not only our own future, but the future of this planet. And yeah, and it is that it is on this fundamental level of our lives that we need to start.